Hi, everybody. I'm Bailey.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lacey.
And we're sarcastic, so let's get sinister.
Lacey, do you think you got your cold from school?
Yeah, it's my back-to-school cold.
You've been there for three days.
I know. Usually it takes a couple weeks. I said to him like 2 days ago, I could feel it coming. I was like, I think my back-to-school cold is real early this year.
It's because you've been on maternity leave, too.
I could say I haven't been. The last two months of school, I'm usually there still around the kids, and I wasn't, so.
She's been in her bubble, too.
I've been in my bubble.
Your immune system is weak.
Shoved amongst all these gross teenagers.
Shoved? Is that really the verb you want to say? Right now. Okay. I mean, you could always change jobs.
No.
Okay.
Not interested in that either. I don't like any options. We were talking about the lottery today because it's like $950 million. Mm. Yeah. And we were talking about if we would get the lump sum or the yearly payout, and I think we agree that we would do the payout.
Mm-hmm.
Like the yearly versus the lump.
It would be less taxed, I think.
No, I get that. Yeah. But like, if you put it all in like a savings account that has a really good like accumulation interest, you would think that the lump sum would like accumulate more.
Well, Bailey, so when you get it, they tax that. So if you got, I'm not going to do the math on it, but if you got like $9,000, they might take 10% of that, which would be $900, I think.
Yes.
But if you got $90 every year, they would only take $9 every year.
But it's $950 million. So let's say, because we were looking up.
You better have a calculator, Lacey.
We couldn't find like definitive like how many years the payout is or whatever.
That's what I want to know. Like before I sign up for the payout, is it only going to be like $100 a year? Because that's bullshit.
But listen, $950 million. Let's say the taxes on it are absolutely wild, and you only end up. I slapped my microphone with $450 million. Like you lose almost half to taxes. If it takes 45 years for the payout, that's still $1 million a year. Like, I don't think there's any way for the yearly payout to not still lend itself to an extravagant lifestyle and savings for my children and grandchildren and the people in my life.
So if you want to give us some money?
The lottery tomorrow, you'll know what our plan is with it.
So you'd have to pay federal and state tax, and the IRS requires 24% tax withholding on gambling winnings more than $5,000.
24%? That's fun, because our number however, that we were playing around with were like 50.
However, winning a large jackpot can push you into a higher tax bracket, potentially increasing your total federal tax liability to the highest rate of 37%.
I'm cool with it. Take 37% of my $950 million.
That's if you get a lump sum, Lacey.
Take less than 37% of my $950 million.
Lacey, did you understand what I was saying? If you get yearly payouts, the reported amount you do to the IRS is lower, so it's less taxed.
Exactly.
So you end up with more money.
Yeah.
I
was already sold on this.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Sorry about this little educational.
I hope you all bought your lottery
interest. Today.
When you guys listen on Sunday, we'll already know if I won the lottery or not. So,
I want to circle back to when Lacey said she was going to give money to her friends and family.
Right. How much are we talking about?
I don't know, but I feel like that's enough money that you can really take care of all the people that you care about.
You don't need to take care of me. Just some like getting out of debt would be nice.
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah,
sure.
I feel like that I'm guaranteed some money from Lacey because I was like maid of honor. I was like best friend for over 10 years. I feel like I'm guaranteed. I just want to make something clear because we're recording. Bailey's just in your benefit. Okay, stop looking at me like that. Lacey, is Bailey getting money?
Sure.
Okay, you have it on recording. So when she wins the lottery, Bailey, you take this to Judge Judy and you reclaim it.
Let's lock her in. How much?
I don't know. Because I don't know. I still don't know how the taxes work and how much money we're getting.
Let's just put like a percentage on it. Like maybe 5-8%. I'm lowballing it.
Oh. Yeah, there are. So, like, you're on the list, but you're not, like, the top of the list. You know what I mean?
Okay, that's why I said 5%.
There's some people I gotta work my way through to get to Bailey.
Me.
Your hair looks lovely.
Anyway, I hope you are ready to get uncomfortable.
Oh, no.
Yeah. We're gonna talk today about Colleen Stan, the girl in a box.
Who?
If anyone remembers her. Colleen Stan.
Okay.
Did we talk about a boy in a box?
No, a boy in a box is a case from Philly. It's unsolved.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, we haven't spoken about that. Okay. So, May 19th, 1977, 20-year-old Colleen Stan was hitchhiking from Eugene, Oregon to Westwood, California.
Eugene.
She was planning on surprising a friend for their birthday party. Colleen considered herself an experienced hitchhiker, 70s, and she trusted her judgment. So when she reached Red Bluff, California, about 70 miles from her destination, she'd already, declined, two other
offer
hitchhiking, driver offers. They were both, single guys in the car, and she was like, no, not comfortable, I'll walk.
Fair.
Until a young couple in a 1971 two-door cobalt blue Dodge Colt pulled over and asked if she needed a ride. Cameron and Janice Hooker were taking a drive with their newborn baby. Colleen had turned, she turned down those other two guys, but seeing this young couple with the baby in the car, she was like, this can't be sketchy. So she got in. This would be a very bad decision for her. So before we get too far, into what happens next, we're going to backpedal and dive into who Cameron Hooker really was. So Cameron was born November 5th, 1953 in California. Do you have a hand raised?
Yes. Sorry. Is Cameron the man or the woman?
Yes. Cameron is the boy.
Okay, thank you.
Janice is his wife.
That's correct. Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Little is known about his early life. What we do know is that he moved around a lot during his childhood until they settled in Red Bluff in 1969 when he was 16. From an early age, he was obsessed with violent pornography.
Sweet.
Yeah. In 1972, he graduated high school and began working at a local lumber mill. The following year, when Cameron was 20, he met Janice, his future wife. Janice was 15 at the time.
How old was he?
He was 20.
Okay, so, illegal.
Yeah. Janice has a very sad upbringing. She was epileptic and she came from a very abusive family. So when Cameron was giving her attention and all the love that she wanted, she just latched on to that and latched into this relationship and was very submissive with Cameron. He quickly showed her and introduced her to his sadomasochism fetishes. He was able to convince her to let him tie her naked to a tree and suspend her by her wrists until she was crying out in pain. Did you have a question?
Yeah. Didn't we just talk about a guy who was the leader of a group and had a young wife who he tortured?
Yeah, that was, I'm pretty sure it was the Chicago Ripper crew. Robin Gant.
Did we just talk about them?
No, that was months ago.
Yeah.
That was after John Wayne Gacy. Because Robin worked for Gacy.
Yeah, I think you're right.
No. I was like the way it sounded.
No. Don't you know? Yeah, no, that case is forever burned to my memory, so I know for a fact.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So Cameron also almost drowned her once during one of their bonded sessions, and he had a favorite game, guys. Are you ready?
I don't like the way, the fake playful way you said that.
Yeah, I don't like the setup for this game.
Sorry. He really enjoyed hanging her by her wrists completely nude, and then just lashing her with a bullwhip.
Every time you say suspending or like hanging her from her, I'm always worried about what you're gonna say, and I'm just a little relieved when you say wrists. I'm going to be honest.
She's worried okay. It's the nipples.
Yes.
And nowhere in here it's gonna be the nipples. I am gonna be saying suspending and hanging a lot.
As long as it's not from the nipples.
It's not.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever covered a case that did that.
I'm just like in the mindset of the Chicago Ripper crew, and didn't he like do weird stuff to his wife's chest?
Yes, he stuck pins in her breasts and kept them in there for days until she was getting like infected.
Lazy needed to take a minute.
He was also the one that was had the breast fetish and would cut the breast off with a piano wire of his victims, and then also like he had sex with one of those chest wounds. Do you want me to like fully recap that case?
So glad we revisited that because I had blocked it from my memory, and now it's back.
I mean, I don't want to scare Lacey too much because what Cameron's going to be doing in this episode is also awful. But Robin also liked to use a glass soda bottle on one of his victims and like inserted it into her.
Saying that like, I feel like I'm predisposed. I'm expecting the worst because of what he did. And that's why I was kind of just like, when you said suspended her from her, I was like, oh, she's going to be like boobs or nipples or something. But no, wrists. Still terrible, but...
It's bad in its own way. It's not as bad as the Chicago Ripper crew, I will say. Where, like, they're probably at, like, a 10 out of 10. Like, Cameron's probably, like, a 9.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us more about Mr. 9.
So through all of that wonderful courtship, Janice and Cameron did get married in 1975. At that point, you know, you took a new level in your marriage and you want to like vow to each other and everything and like share your plan for the future. Cameron said that he intended to take a stranger as a sex slave.
Okay.
Janice, who, I mean, she was going through her own level of abuse and everything there. She was like, Patrick ruining my flow. Sorry. She was open to it. I know. Janice was open to like taking a break from all the abuse and everything. She did have some conditions of her own though. First, she wanted to have a kid. She wanted to have a safe pregnancy, so no beatings when she was pregnant.
Fair.
I don't think that's too much to ask of your husband.
It's a fair request.
Yeah. The other condition she had was that he would only ever have sex with her. He was not allowed to have penetrative sex with anyone else. It was in one of the notes, so.
But it is a sex slave.
I think she was thinking, like, okay, I hear your idea for a sex slave. Can we make it, like, a foreplay slave, though?
Or, like, a torture slave?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, torture was foreplay for him, so.
Fair.
Yeah. And Cameron was like, cool. Sure. Yeah. Like, we'll have you get a baby. Or we'll make a baby. Not get a baby, because they didn't steal a child or anything. But anyway.
Well, that's a relief.
Yeah. So that was their terms. And now we're going to jump ahead to 1977 when Colleen unfortunately got in their car. Pat is about to leave the room. Give me 1 second. Okay. So Colleen, she, remember it's a 2-door car. So like someone has to get out of the car to open the door or the seat for her to get in, you know? Mm-hmm. Colleen said that she, like, felt safe in the car, but she did start to notice that Cameron was checking her out in the rearview mirror quite a lot.
Hmm.
They started having a casual conversation, starting with, like, Cameron asking, like, so why are you going to Westwood? And she was like, oh, I'm, like, completely surprising a friend for their birthday. This perked Cameron up, and he asked, so she doesn't know you're coming? And uh-oh. Colleen was like, yeah, it would be a complete surprise. Yeah, that kind of car. After some time, they stopped at a gas station to let Colleen use the bathroom. While in the bathroom, she later said that there was a voice telling her to climb out the window and just run.
I love that you said she later said.
Yes, Colleen does survive. She brushed this voice off and kind of talked herself out of that because she was like, he's with his family, he's with his wife, like, he wouldn't do anything, like, or you would think that he wouldn't be doing anything in front of his baby. When she got back to the car, in the back seat, she noticed a strange box now sitting beside her. It had leather hinges and a leather reinforcement straps along each edge. They continued to drive for about a mile when Cameron and Janice asked if she was up for a little detour to see some ice caves in the area.
No. Say no.
Colleen agreed as long as they were able to get to her destination by nightfall because she really wanted to surprise her back. They pulled off onto a dirt road without any, like, signage, which seemed a little weird to Colleen, but she figured, like, they're locals. Maybe this is a local, like, hidden gem, so they might know, like, they probably know where they're going. When the car stopped, Janice and the baby left the car first. Cameron followed behind them, and they walked down to a little creek. Where Colleen waited in the car in the back seat. The door was open, but she was just like chilling. Suddenly, she didn't see Cameron anymore.
Hmm.
So she still had like eye contact on like Janice and the baby, but where did Cameron go? Until he reappeared in the car. By yanking a front seat forward and slipped into the back seat right beside her. He held a butcher's knife to her throat and told her to put her hands up. He then proceeded to handcuff her behind her back. He blindfolded her and put a harness over her head with a broad leather strap across her mouth. He then put another strap that went under her chin. And when it was, like, fully fastened to her head, she wasn't able to move her jaw, like, to scream or anything. He then tied her ankles together and grabbed the strange wooden box that she was sitting next to and put it over her head and slammed it shut. Inside the box, it was filled with foam rubber, which, like, roughly shaped to her head. But what this did was She's already blindfolded, but her head was essentially in a box, so she was even more blindfolded and deafened now. She became disoriented and had difficulty breathing, which that makes sense, because I mean you're getting kidnapped and your head was just shoved into a box. He laid her down in the back seat and used her own sleeping bag to cover her. And then Janice and the baby got back in the car and they started to drive again. Colleen said it felt like they were doing errands. They were doing a lot of like driving and then stopping. Someone was getting out and then getting back in. And they were just doing a lot. Until suddenly the sleeping bag and the head box came off and she was allowed to sit up. And then she smelled food cooking, and it seemed like Janice and Cameron thought it was a good idea to have, like, a little picnic. Because, you know, hungry. After their picnic, they drove back to their home. Where her ankles were untied, so she could walk. And they led her down into the basement. Cameron had her step up on something as he adjusted her restraints. She was still blindfolded. Her head was, like, still in the box, I'm pretty sure. And when he was adjusting her restraints, he was essentially, like, handcuffing her to a pole, then, like, starting to undress her, and then he had to, like, switch arms that was, like, handcuffed in order to undress the rest of her. So, she's in their basement, completely blindfolded, naked now, and tied with her hands above her head. She was fully believing that she was going to be raped or sexually assaulted. Sorry, I lost my notes. Cameron told her to shut up and started touching her body all over. Then he kicked the box out from under her legs, so she was, like, fully suspended in the air by her wrists. Taking in a little bit of her surroundings, just because she had the blindfold on at this point, but it wasn't, like, fully, like, covering her, she was able to see an open magazine on a table nearby showing a naked woman suspended from the ceiling, just like herself. At that point, she observed Cameron and Janice getting undressed, and they began having sex on the table right in front of Colleen. Cameron saw that Colleen was watching them and ordered her to look away and put your head down. When she didn't comply quick enough, Cameron jumped up and began whipping her and beating her. This only excited him more, and then he went back to having sex with his wife. How are we doing?
Well, I'm really good. Okay. Where's the baby?
Upstairs, I think.
Who's watching the baby?
It's the 70s.
So the baby's just out in the yard?
He's washing himself.
They didn't have seatbelts back then. What do you want? Don't worry. When they finished, Drew, Janice went back upstairs, leaving Cameron downstairs with Colleen still tied up. Cameron started touching her again. He then took photographs of her and chained her up into a box that was essentially like the size of like a narrow coffin. What?
No, thank you.
Oh, yeah. Colleen started to complain that she could barely breathe. Cameron told her that if she didn't shut up, he would cut her vocal cords, and that he's done it before, so don't try him. At that point, he tried wrapping a belt or a cord around her upper body, and placed something sharp between her legs. Because she was blindfolded, she wasn't really sure, like, what this was for, but she later discovered that he attempted to electric shock her genitals, but he couldn't get the equipment working. Thank God.
Right.
What did he tie around her upper half?
a cord or a belt.
What for? Just to kind of restrain her, or?
Well, if it's a cord, I'm assuming, like, he's going to, like, shock her up there, too.
Mm. Sweet.
Yeah.
Good stuff. This is all great.
That night, Colleen stayed tied up the entire time, unable to move. She felt like she could sense him still looking at her, and occasionally, like, she felt the touch of his hands. Not sure if that was, like, her mind playing tricks on her, because she's, like, has multiple senses, like, covered and deprived, or if that was actually true. In the morning, he took her out of the box, and she asked when he would let her go, and he said soon.
Nice and vague.
Yeah. She was put on the table and chained spread eagle to a rack. The head box was replaced back onto her head, and she was left there for an hour. He then brought her, like, a chair and a bedpan, and fed her, offered her to go to the bathroom. But once she was done, he tied her up again and then suspended her from the ceiling for about, like, 15 minutes. Then he brought her back down to the rack, placed the head box on her, and was left there for another day. The following day, Colleen was pulling on her chains, moaning and crying, until the head box was removed and Janice was actually down there. Janice asked her, "What's wrong?" It's a loaded Take a guess, question.
Janice.
Yeah. Colleen told her she was cold. Janice put a blanket over her, and she was unlocked from some of her restraints, given water and two egg salad sandwiches. She only ate the first one, saying that she wasn't hungry enough for the second. This was a mistake. Cameron yelled at her and told her that she should be more grateful. And then she was suspended from the ceiling again and whipped until she passed out from pain. When she regained consciousness, she had nothing under her feet to give, like, support while she was still, like, hanging. And she quickly passed out again. How we doing?
I'm great. This is all
she was.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I feel like this so first, this has been sounding very familiar to me. And yeah. I did find out that a different podcast has done this one before.
Yes.
But I feel like I can visualize it. Like I've seen a movie or a TV show do it. Do you know if, like, Criminal Minds did something?
They did.
Okay.
It was, I think they did, like, a couple episodes that, like, sort of touched on it. The most common one, or, like, the most, like,
accurate,
is when they're trying to find Derek's cousin.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't like that episode. That made me feel so sad.
Yeah.
But it had a happy ending.
It did. So she passed out again from the pain of being suspended. She was brought down and then offered the second sandwich again, which she ate. She quickly learned that absolute obedience was mandatory, and she pretty much had to do whatever he said just to, like, survive. She spent another day on the rack, and he taught her, that silence was also mandatory. There would be no whimpering and no conversation. Okay. A couple days later, Janice returned to the basement and took the head box back off of her and tried talking with her. She explained that even though she was naked, that Colleen was not going to be raped, but the torture would continue. Janice asked her what she would do if she was released, and Colleen responded, "Go to the police and tell them that I had been kidnapped." This was not a good thing to say. Janice quickly attached the head box back on, and Colleen was beaten again.
I understand that she's like, you can't go to the police, I guess, was her thought. But, like, if Colleen said, I'm not going to tell anybody, I'm just going to go home, would she have believed her anyway? You know?
Yeah, I don't know.
She just wanted
to. I feel
to.
Like Janice is pretty gullible. She was, like, manipulated or groomed at a young age, so she's probably pretty gullible. I don't want to victim blame, but I'm just, like, noticing some things that Colleen is saying that I'm like, ooh, why'd you say that? Like, saying, like, I'm going to surprise my friend so no one knows where I'm going. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah. Nobody's expecting me. That's a bit of a, ooh.
But, and then, I mean, they didn't know. Middle of the 70s, it's California. They didn't know what, like, a sexual sadist was or what a serial killer was. And not to say these types of things. Because there's not always good people out there.
Left and right. So, like, they clearly didn't have, like, survival skills like we do nowadays. Where we know not to hitchhike.
Feels like we shouldn't have had to gain that knowledge. It should just be something that you know as you grow up. But I guess we had to get through the 70s to figure that out.
I think, like, back in the olden days, there was, like, an idea of safety. Like,
yeah,
people
like
lock their doors.
Born of ignorance.
Like, you trusted your neighbor.
Yeah, you'd let your kids go run out in the street and just come home when the streetlights come on.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're like, I need to know where you're going because there are people around. Always.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even schools aren't safe. Anyway.
Poor Lacey.
Sorry, Lacey.
Just hang out there.
To clarify real quick, Lacey doesn't hang out at schools.
Not in, like, a creepy way.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
Me.
If someone's a new listener, Lacey, and they don't know that you're a teacher, they might get concerned that you're just hanging out.
Yeah. No, I'm legally allowed to hang out there.
Ooh.
Why especially do you keep saying hang out?
I don't know.
You're being there to do a job. You're not.
I just teach. I just work there.
Didn't you say you were, like, stuck with, like, a bunch of kids too? What was the first thing you said that I was like, that verb doesn't sound right?
Shoves
with her. Yep. Yeah. Okay.
It sounds like Lacey's resenting her job.
It's just the first week blues.
They made you sick.
Shouldn't you be excited for the first?
Actually, typically do really like a new school year. I'm kind of, like, weirdly excited to go back, and I felt that way, like, the first day, and then I missed my baby.
Yeah.
So I'm still in transition. Sorry, I've been muting every time I blew my nose, but I forgot.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was your palate cleanser.
Yep.
Our listeners.
We're gonna sprinkle them in.
Yeah. So, abuse became her normal routine. She spent 23 hours chained to the rack with the head box keeping her completely isolated, only to be released for the bathroom, where Cameron absolutely had to be watching her. She was not allowed to go to the bathroom alone. She would be given food and water, and learned never to refuse anything that was given. 2 to 3 times a week, she would be suspended from the ceiling or subject to some other punishment. Cameron would take photographs of her in humiliating and degrading positions. And any type of resistance was met with vicious whipping. On one occasion, she was rattling chains on the rack because she needed to go to the bathroom. When he came down, he supplied her with the bedpan. But after she was done, he suspended her and whipped her until she passed out for making noise. She was tethered and blindfolded at all times.
I feel like there's no winning for her whether she makes noise to go to the bathroom or, like, goes to the bathroom on herself. I imagine she would be punished either way.
She was. About a week into her capture, Colleen heard sawing and hammering. Cameron was doing a little DIY project.
Cute.
He was making another coffin-shaped box, and this is where she was going to be for her new day-to-day routine. The rack would be now used for only, like, special tortures. Okay. The coffin had a double skin, which made it even more escape-proof. Ventilation was provided by a hairdryer, with the heating element turned off. She remained in chains. Cameron also clogged her ears with grease to cut off her hearing. He made the box out of cheap wood that was very coarse on her skin and gave her splinters, because she's also just naked. So, like, every part of her is exposed to this awful wood. Occasionally, she would have her own sleeping bag in there to be, like, to sleep on. But a special type of punishment was when they would, like, take that out and she would just have to sleep right on the wood. When she couldn't hold herself for the bathroom, Cameron would whip her and beat her even more. Cameron was especially careful about the, like, how he lashed her and what kind of whips he used, because he didn't want to cut her skin and risk infection.
Well, that's kind. That's very nice of him. You don't want her dying of sepsis.
Obviously. So. You want the longevity of a sex slave.
Yes. Yeah. I can tell based on his DIY that he is not cheap.
Resourceful.
He wants to, like, save money. And so you don't want your sex slave to get sepsis and die after the first week, because then you're just going through sex slaves one after the other. So, like Bailey said, longevity. You need to maintain to really, like, get your money's worth.
If she's sick, he's not gonna, like, the torture isn't gonna be as fun.
No, because she's not gonna have the energy to participate in the way that he wants. So it's, yeah.
He also enjoyed burning her. And administering electric shocks to some vulnerable areas. Oh, no. And also would suspend her from her ankles. Cameron and Janice would have sex on top of the box with her in it. And Cameron would also force her to perform oral sex on him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Remember the penetrative sex?
Yeah. I was, because we were just talking about Janice and Cameron. So then we jumped to forcing her to perform oral sex. And I was like, Janice? No.
He's never not been abusive to his wife, but I think the thought process and, like, I can kind of see, like, Janice needed to give him an outlet for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, I mean, he's still abusive towards Janice. After the first month of Colleen's captivity, she lost about 22 pounds. At 3 months, she was given a toothbrush and allowed to clean her teeth.
How many months?
Three. Initially, her menstrual cycle stopped from all the stress. But around the 3 month time is when she started again. Once, you know, she was messy. They brought her upstairs for a bath. And, you know, there's something so nice about taking a bath when, like, it's like the first day of your period or something, and it being, like, so relaxing. And that wasn't the experience Cameron wanted to give her. he gagged her with duct tape and blindfolded her with a baby diaper.
Clean one, hair, I hope.
I hope so. Her hair was so filthy and tangled, because, I mean, we're at 3 months now, it's probably matted. It was unable to be detangled, so Janice just cut it off with scissors. While in the bath, Colleen was hogtied with her hands and feet behind her back. She was then suspended from a broom handle and dunked headfirst into the water. Cameron kept her
under a bath, more of like a torture kind of thing. Waterboarding.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's getting
really a bath,
but it's in a bath.
Yeah. You know, you could murder somebody in a bathtub. It's not a bath. That's a murder.
That's a murder. Put that on the news shirts.
Bailey's going to be in court and she's like, I was just giving her a bath, but you dunked her head underwater for 20 minutes. It was a bath.
Okay. Okay, you don't duck your head underwater when you're in a bath? I'm sorry.
The bathtub. So it's a bath. Okay.
He kept her and held her there underwater until it felt like her lungs were about to explode. And then he pulled her out for a second, just to dunk her right back in. My sentence says this bath, sorry, Drew, let me pivot. This torture, lasted 2 hours.
Okay.
Is that better?
Yeah. That's a really long bath.
In the basement, she was tied up again. She was put face down on the rack and forced to perform, oral sex on him again. She was allowed to take a bath once a month now.
What, the same kind of bath?
Wouldn't you want your sex slave to not be disgusting?
Well, I don't think he's actually, like, doing sex with her. I think the only thing that he would really care about hygienically is her
sex with her. who are you?
I think the only thing that he would care about hygienically would be the mouth, which is why I was surprised it took 3 months. Although it doesn't sound like he was doing a lot of oral sex, because he still was doing penetrative sex with Janice.
So before someone asked if they were all, the baths were all the same like that. The next one was, after that, she was able to bathe alone, but still blindfolded.
What is over your shoulder right now?
Oh. It's a meerkat.
I thought it was a real dog, and I was like, that dog is not moving, Bailey.
As a vet tech, you should be aware.
Yeah. I was like staring at it. I was like, is that like a little Bichon Frise? I was like, what? I didn't know that.
You think I just have a Bichon Frise perched on my shoulder?
I didn't know. It was behind your shoulder. I was like, I don't know when she got a little white dog. And then I was like, is it a sticker for her wall? That thing's not moving. And so I needed to know.
It's a meerkat.
Perfect.
Okay.
There's our little palate cleanser. Yep.
Perfect.
So you were saying the baths were the same the first time afterwards? Like the second time was the dunking?
Yes. The second bath that she had was the same as the first. And then she slowly, like, earned her own bath time.
Okay.
Where she was still blindfolded, but it wasn't torture.
Yeah. Okay.
With this,
was she still like handcuffed, or was it just?
I don't know. With this new freedom, obviously she was able to like be upstairs with the family and like their doors. Janice warned her that any attempt to walk out the back door, would be the same as putting a shotgun to her own head and pulling the trigger.
Okay, Janice. Jesus.
For the first few months, Colleen didn't know the name of either of her captors. She just knew them as the man and the woman. She learned Janice's name when Cameron had asked Jan to pass him a whip. So she, like, stored that and made note of it. During the torture and, like, her captivity, Colleen wondered what was wrong with Janice. And, like, what is compelling her to allow this man to do everything what she was doing? And also, like, was Janice also enjoying it? Or was she, like, a part of it? Because over time, Colleen started to believe that, like, Janice was taking part in whipping her as well. And that, like, she felt her, like, prod. Is that a word? Prod her with sharp objects, and on one occasion bit her.
Ew. Weirdo.
Yeah. But Colleen was pretty sure that Janice didn't take the same pleasure in the sadism as Cameron did. Over the next couple, like, weeks and everything, they started, using Colleen to make money. So they started giving her tasks to do overnight. This started with working on, like, she was, like, sanding a specific, like, wooden piece of, like, furniture or something. She did that for, like, a couple of days, and then it just kind of, like, disappeared. So Colleen was, like, oh, they probably, I wonder if they, like, sold it. Because, you know, it's another mouth to feed. Everyone's got to support the family.
Yeah, she's been, like, living off of them for months now. It's time for her to start contributing.
I mean, it's only fair.
Mm-hmm.
Late November of, what year are we in? 1977? Oh, no. Sorry, my notes left me. She then was ordered to shell walnuts. And during this task, she was actually allowed to take her blindfold off. This was the first time she was able to take her blindfold off in 6 months.
Oh. Wow. It took a second for that to, like...
Yeah. During the day, she would be kept in her box. Cameron would come and get her, feed her leftovers, and inflict some kind of pain or torture on her. Then she would be taken to what, like, I've called, like, pretty much her workshop, of where she would be, like, working all night on, like, things. At that point, her blindfold would be off. And in her, like, between, like, shelling walnuts or, like, pecans, Janice taught her how to macrame and crochet.
Oh.
So we're learning skills.
Girl thing.
What'd you say?
It's girls doing girl things.
Yeah. They're going to make each other friendship bracelets soon.
Real girls, girl. She was left alone in the workshop all night. And one night, she even plucked up the courage to try the door to the basement. But it was locked.
They are getting, like, more relaxed with her, though. So that's a good sign.
So after the new year.
Oh. Just ignoring, like, that comment.
Well, so Colleen spent, Christmas, her birthday, and New Year's, like, in the box with, like, very little, like, communication with them. After the new year, they, approached her in the middle of the night while she was in her workshop. And this was the first time she, like, actually, like, saw Cameron since she got in the car with him in, I think it was July. Or May. It was May. Yes.
You're gonna tell us, like, so she is anybody looking for her?
I will cover that later. Sorry if that's unsettling to hear right now. So Cameron and Janice came down to see her. And they told her that there was a man upstairs from the company. They showed her a newspaper article about women being sold as slaves in the United States. They were given slave names, and they would be held as a slave for life. Those who resisted were sent to, like, a rent-a-dungeon place in San Francisco for remedial training. They then produced a legal-looking document that was dated January 25th, 1978. Referring to Colleen Stan as slave and an alias Michael Powers as master. This document was to have her sign herself over to her slave master, body and soul, and any possessions she might acquire in her time with them. She was to do everything she was told without question. Every part of her belonged to him. She was not to wear underwear or anything at all without his permission, nor was she allowed to cross her legs in his presence. She was forced to sign, and it was witnessed by Janice, who used the alias Janet Powers.
That's very similar to the Criminal Minds with their cousin.
Yes. During this conversation, Colleen noticed that Janice had her knees bandaged for some reason, and she made a remark and was like, what's going on with this? Like, what's wrong with her? And Cameron explained that Janice had been a slave that had escaped. When she was recaptured, she was taken to, like, the headquarters, where she was nailed up for and to be tortured to death. Cameron took pity on her, brought her home, married her, but her knees had been badly damaged during her punishment. Cameron then detailed about what happened to one slave who tried to run away. The company tracked down her family, tortured her mom until she told them where her daughter was. The slave's fingers and toes were pulled off. Her arms and legs were amputated without any anesthesia. Her eardrums were punctured and her eyeballs burned out with a soldering iron.
Jesus.
Her hair was braided and then used to suspend her torso from a hook in the ceiling of her master's bedroom. She was fed and provided water, but it took her a year to die.
I don't believe that that's true.
Okay.
She probably would have bled out or died of sepsis.
You don't know if they cauterized those wounds.
Yeah.
I'm also suspicious, just, you know, for what it's
worth. Yeah, because I feel like he's just telling her that to scare her.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the whole company is a
hoax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can imagine she's in the position right now where she's maybe, I don't know. She's not been there with him a while. She's scared. She's whatever, you know.
I feel like it'd be too risky to not believe him.
It was not true. Yeah.
Yeah.
From now on, Cameron was to be called Master or Sir, and Janice, his wife, was to be called Mistress or Ma'am. Colleen must ask for permission to go, even to go to the bathroom. In order to speak to them, she had to kneel with her hands at her sides and look down at the floor. Afraid of the consequences, Colleen signed the contract, and she was given a slave collar with her slave name, Kay. Shortly after, a laminated card came from the company showing that she had been registered. She was now allowed upstairs to wash dishes and clean up, though she was not allowed to sit on the furniture.
They really went and laminated a card. Cool,
it's,
guys.
The laminator is like...
I'm not saying it's not a great office supply. I'm saying they really went and were like, We got this contract. Let's go laminate a card that says she is a registered slave. Just to really hit home this story.
They were so excited.
They were probably at like a Kinko's. Giggling. Like, it looks so good. They're stupid.
So while she was doing the chores upstairs, she came across a letter written by Cameron to the company complaining about her poor performance. This further convinced her that the company was real and reaffirmed her like absolute obedience. So like she like fully bought into this because
yeah,
a fear.
That's yeah, a thing for him to do.
Yeah,
like we said earlier, I don't think that she was in a position to really call his bluff.
No. Cameron wanted to keep her naked all the time, even upstairs doing the chores, but Janice So Janice insisted that she wear a nightgown upstairs in front of their daughter.
Yeah.
So a little bit better.
They don't want to expose the baby to any of this.
Yeah.
Sex slave stuff.
It's too soon.
Yeah. Let her get to at least 2 years old first.
Cameron developed a new command for Colleen. He would shout attention, and she was to strip off her nightgown, brace herself in the doorway between the living room and the dining room, and then he would whip her for, like, minor infractions or whenever he wanted.
Did you mean infractions?
Sure. What did I say?
Infarction. Like was a myocardial
that... yeah,
infarction. Or a transient.
Yeah. Well, I've been watching a lot of House.
Okay.
Well, he had an infarction in his leg.
Yes, he did.
So,
yes.
Look at me.
Okay. You're basically a doctor. I mean, you said infarction.
Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. In February 1978, she was taken upstairs. They tied her spread eagle to their waterbed because it was the 70s. So, yeah.
Just another reason why these two are the coolest kids in town. They sleep on a waterbed and they hang out with Kinko's.
And laminated cards, Lazy. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
Can't forget the cards.
They're over Kinko's.
She was on the bed tied blindfolded. She felt both of them along on either side of her, and they began kissing her all over her body. When Cameron started to begin to rape her, Janice jumped off the bed and ran into the bathroom, upset and starting to cry.
That's a rule.
I know. Cameron then followed her into the bathroom and was seeming to comfort her. After this, Janice was getting a little jelly.
Did she take it out in a healthy way?
No, she started getting like really short with Cameron? Colleen.
Oh.
And, well, because Colleen is taking her husband, Drew.
Yes. It was Colleen's fault.
Yeah, it kind of, she started, like, pinning them against each other. Janice was.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wait. Janice was pinning Cameron against Colleen?
No. Janice was starting to feel, like, competition with Colleen for Cameron.
Well, you know.
She was pinning herself against Colleen.
In her defense, Janice has had a baby. So her body probably doesn't look like it did before. Also, you know, Colleen is just walking around the house in a nightgown. Like, it's like stripping it off whenever any, like, how can...
To be fair, though, Janice chose a nightgown, though. Like, she could have just chose, like, a t-shirt or something.
She should have said, like, a jumpsuit.
In April of that year, 1978, suddenly Colleen heard a lot of things moving from the basement. And then they came for her in the early morning hours. Turns out the family was moving into
condo.
Trailer. That's it. Trailer.
Sorry.
No, I was just going to start guessing places.
But we did don't you have to say,
talk about it?
Did you say condo?
Yeah, I did.
I was literally about to say condo. It was, I said ca, and you said condo. And I said, did I just say that without saying? I was very confused, but
they mocked my choice.
No, I was going to say condo as well.
Nice.
Okay, that was another little palate cleanser.
So they were moving into a trailer?
Yes.
From
were they their apartment. Sorry, they were in an apartment. They had landlords.
With a basement?
Yeah.
Was it like a townhouse? What?
It was a home. You could rent a home.
But you said it was an apartment.
I mean, sorry, it's a home. They rented a home. They had landlords.
Gotcha.
And a basement.
And a baby.
Yeah, too. In the mobile home, they had her new box all set up. They put it right under their bed, their water bed. And it was almost the same, except a little smaller. If there were no chores or if there were no needs that Cameron needed met with torture and pain and stuff, Colleen would be left in that coffin under their bed for like 23 hours a day. A couple weeks later, she was given clean clothes, which consisted of denim shorts, a tank top, and a pair of tennis shoes. Still no underwear, because against the rules.
Well, so was penetrative sex, but Cameron broke that one.
Well, that was Cameron breaking that rule. That wasn't Colleen.
Still. But it's nice that she actually has clothes. Yeah. Not just like a nightgown.
Yeah. After they moved into the trailer, both of their families were like relatively closer. So there was like, they had some a little bit more explaining to do. So Cameron's family, specifically his brother Dexter and his dad Harold, were around a little bit more. To get Colleen to comply, Cameron lied to her and told her that they were both part of the company and that Colleen was not to act as a slave in front of them because then they would want to borrow her. And they would treat her far worse than they did.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, she was to pretend to be their housekeeper and a babysitter. She was also introduced as Kay to Janice's parents, who they also explained, like, she was a housekeeper slash babysitter, too. And they couldn't spot anything wrong with this situation. They didn't see any of the, like, torture or, like, any signs.
I'd be like, you guys are living in a trailer and you can afford a live-in nanny and housekeeper. Also, you guys don't have a house to keep.
So
we're in a trailer.
So they didn't, like, she wasn't living in to them because she slept under the bed in a box. So they thought she left every day.
Okay. And then I assume they were cleaning her more frequently. Because it would look real bad if your babysitter was dirty. Or your housekeeper.
She's too busy cleaning the house. There's
a lot of holes in their story.
This is where you want to poke the holes?
I feel as though I've been poking holes.
I mean, but this is where you want to focus?
I'm just trying to get through this.
Okay. Cameron got a little DIY again. He made a new contraption.
He is so resourceful.
He really knows how. He has amazing hobbies.
Mm-hmm.
She was taken out of the box and strapped to a reinforced frame. Okay. since they were more around family, their daughter was growing. Cameron was a little, like, nervous that someone unexpected would just drop in and, you know, see things that they shouldn't, or that don't fit the story. So they made, he made, like, a torture chamber in a second storage shed in the garden. And that's where he would take Colleen. With this new frame, in the shed, Colleen would be back to being suspended by her arms and blindfolded. One time she accidentally was, like, swinging, because, you know, she's suspended, and she kicked Janice in the stomach.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Was she Cameron... pregnant?
No.
Okay. No.
Cameron was not happy about this. He took her sleeping bag out of her box so that she would have to sleep on the rough wood. And the next torture session, he brought matches and, sorry, Drew, he burned her breasts.
Oh, dear.
When Janice would leave the house for errands or whatever, Cameron would take this opportunity to have some special time with Colleen and some special torture sessions. At the end, when it was just the two of them, he wanted her to cuddle him.
Oh.
One occasion, he said that she could say anything she liked to him, which, after almost a year of being, almost a year of being in captivity and being told that, like, you're not allowed to be, like, you're not allowed to speak until spoken to, you're gonna get punished if you do, if you make a noise, she was unsure of what to say. But she did have a really good, I think is a really badass question. She looked at him and asked, first off, when was the first time he realized he wanted to hurt women? Cameron responded, when he was 5 or 6 years old, he had begun to draw pictures of women in bondage. She then asked him what he would do if someone did this to his daughter. He responded he'd kill them.
Oh.
Yet, he's doing it to someone else's daughter.
I have questions about the drawings he drew at 5 and 6 years old.
About how a 5 or 6 year old even knew about women in bondage?
Yeah. Oh, also, my. I mean, I have a 5 year old and I see, I would think, most of her drawings. Nobody saw his drawings, I guess. Or at least they didn't think they were alarming or worth intervening. But yeah, I mean, I think that there are definitely worse things she could have said to him. I was thinking, like, maybe it would have been beneficial if she, like, said, like, something Stockholm syndrome-y to make him think that she was really coming around so that he wouldn't have to restrain her so much.
Well, she's only been with him now for, like, a little over a year.
I love that you said she's only been.
Colleen stays captive with the family for 7 years.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And this is actually where I'm going to end part one.
Ew. Oh. Sneaky bitch.
She does that to us all the time, and we never expect it. Seven years.
Yeah. I'm mad at you.
Sorry.
And then also, like, I really wanted to know what was going on with, hopefully, family or friends.
Because you did mention that she was going to tell us that later.
I know,
but I thought that was going to be today.
Yeah.
But this sneaky bitch is going to make us wait a week to say, nobody was looking for her. Right? Nobody was looking for her? Is that what it is?
I don't know. You have to listen to the next episode.
You are such a dick.
Any yeah, other comments you want to make?
I just feel like if I didn't hear from you guys for, I don't know, I mean, definitely a year, but maybe like a month, I'd be like, where are these guys at?
Well, we also talk to each other like once a day.
Yeah, another way you could have said that is daily. once a day. Yeah, that's true. But you would think that like Colleen has family that would notice that she has been gone for over a year, or I don't know, seven. I just want to know where her family is.
My guess I'm going to put out there, and I know we won't find out till next week, is that she was like a runaway or like a troubled kid. So they assumed she had run off, and that's why they were looking for her.
They
so
did like what
constantly.
They did what LAPD or other police usually do, where they're just like, she probably just took off. She'll be back.
Yeah.
That's yeah, I feel like you're probably right. Either that or she's orphaned.
That would be sad.
Or her parents are just suck.
No, she has a good family.
Okay, so like then where are they? They're looking for her. They're looking for her, but they can't find her. And there's like TV reports where they're like, Colleen, come home if you can hear the, like stuff like that.
No, there's no TV reports, because then when they moved to the trailer and their family, like the brother and father and stuff, were seeing Colleen, then they'd be like, we've been seeing this bitch on the news.
But you know how like the news is, they would have at that point it's been like close to a year. So they would have stopped after a couple months. And also,
I like how you guys are latching on to this to problem solve this mystery.
I need a happy ending.
Well, we know
it is happy. Colleen does survive.
I know.
And the pictures here that we're looking at them, his looks like it's a court.
Yeah.
Like he's in a prison jumpsuit kind of deal.
But I don't like his expression, because to me that he looks bored, and I want him to look like sad. And then she just looks straight up evil and then thinks somebody should exercise her.
I can only say based on those observations, you're going to be, there's going to be good news and there's going to be bad news.
Someone's going to die before they were prosecuted or got their punishment or something.
Oh, if one of them kills themselves before they go to jail, I'm going to crash out.
That's it. One of them is going to shove a pencil into their neck and go...
I'll be furious.
I bet you it's Cameron. I he looks like a little bitch. He's gonna kill himself before he goes to court.
Well, that was sinister.
I can't handle it.
Well, that was sinister.
I am not done.
I know. That's why I'm cutting you off. That was sinister.
And we were sarcastic.
And we hope you keep listening.